But right now, I want you to take your Bibles. Let's look in Psalm 37. Stand with me as we read God's Word together. Psalm 37, beginning in verse 7 of the text. There the Bible says this: "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." This is the word of God. Will you join with me as we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for this good day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of singing your praises and lifting up your name. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting us in this place today. Father, I ask that you would move me out of the way, and Lord, that you would speak a word to us today. Help us to hear your voice. I pray, Lord, for those who are here today who are struggling with anger in some way. Maybe it's anger that controls them and causes them to have outbursts of anger at home or with people that they work with. Or maybe it's an anger that they hold inside and it turns to bitterness and just hurts their lives. But God, I pray that you would meet us today where we are, and Lord, bring healing and peace where there is anger and bitterness. We love you, Lord. We praise you, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' holy name. And brothers and sisters, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. When I was 9 years old, I became captivated by a television show. It came on every Friday night at 8 o'clock on CBS, and the show was The Incredible Hulk. I watched it. Other boys that went to school with me watched it. A few girls that went to school with me watched it. And I watched, I think, every episode of The Incredible Hulk. Now, I'm not talking about the movies. I'm talking about the television show from the 1970s, The Incredible Hulk. And you sort of know the premise. Dr. Banner is sort of like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. When he becomes angry, he transforms from a mild-mannered scientist into this raging, green, angry monster that busts out of all of his clothing and smashes things. And that's really everything you need to know about The Incredible Hulk. That's the whole story. And I watched it every week. Now, I can't tell you one plot line from one of those episodes. I have no remembrance of those things. But there's one line from the show that I can remember, because they played it every week at the beginning of the show. They played Dr. Banner saying the same thing at the beginning of each show. And here's what's interesting. I just did an informal survey this week, and I asked guys in their 50s and 60s and guys in their 30s and 40s and even guys in their 20s, and they could all complete this sentence. They could all complete this quote for me. So a reporter comes up to Dr. Banner. He's chasing him around and really harassing him, trying to find out what's going on and whether Dr. Banner has anything to do with the Hulk. And Dr. Banner says to the reporter, "Don't make me angry." Now, who knows the next line? "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." I asked all these guys, all of them answered that question right. "Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." That became sort of a catchphrase at my school. 9-year-old boys playing dodgeball would say, "Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." It just became sort of a catchphrase. Now, the truth is, do you like anybody when they're angry? I mean, you know, I can't think of anybody who says, "You know, the thing I admire most about her is her uncontrolled anger and bitter spirit." Nobody says things like that. That's just not an attractive look on anybody. Most of us, men or women, don't like to see anger in ourselves or others. And so for that reason, a lot of times we try to mask over our anger. And we'll deny that we're angry when we are angry. And instead, we'll use all kinds of synonyms for what we are. We'll say, "I'm frustrated, I'm irritated, I'm annoyed, I'm flustered, I'm upset, I'm hurt, I'm disappointed, I'm outraged, I'm righteously indignant, I'm fed up and sick and tired and discouraged, but I am not angry." And everybody knows that you're angry. Now, so what does the Word of God have to say about anger? Here's what I want you to see. I want you to look with me in the Word of God, and we're going to talk about how anger operates in our lives, and then how God can give us grace so that we can deal with our anger in a way that honors him. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want you to think with me about three different things the Word of God reveals to us in the verses we've read about anger. So we're going to look at Psalm 37, verses 7 through 9, but we're going to look at a lot of other verses going along today. And so I hope you'll follow along with me, and I pray, in fact, I've been praying this week, that God would use this message in our lives. Christian counselors indicate that 50% of people who come to them come because they're dealing in some way with issues related to anger. And so this isn't just a problem that somebody else has. This is a problem we all have. This is something we all encounter. So I want to talk to you about three things the Word of God shows us about anger in this psalm. First of all, think with me about the reasons for anger. The reasons for anger. Now, David wrote this psalm, and he wrote it looking at his own life and his own response, and he gives us this word about our lives. Look in verse 7, right at the middle of the verse. He says, "Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." If you just look at those words, you can see the cause, the reason that causes us anger. And David identifies it. It's when we see wicked people prospering. Anger is something that God has hardwired into us. Anger is the response, it's a God-given response that God has given us for how to respond when things are not right. And so David says, don't fret. That word fret means to burn. He says, don't get burned up. Don't burn with anger because of him who prospers in his way, even though he is wicked. When you see wrongdoing and when you see wicked people prospering, the Bible says do not become angry, because that's a reason that would cause anger to well up in us. Anger is a God-given response that God gives us for when things are not right. When you see something that's not right. When you're driving down the highway and somebody cuts you off in traffic and you say that's not right and you get angry. Okay, that's an anger response based on something not being right. Or when a child disobeys you and you become angry. It's a response to something not being right. Or when you're waiting in line and there are 50 people waiting in line and they've only got two cashiers open. Am I the only one who that makes me? I get angry when that happens. I have to control it. Because why? It's not right. It's a God-given response when things are not right. God has made us in his image. And part of being made in his image is the response of anger when things are not right. Now, the Word of God shows us that when Almighty God sees injustice and unrighteousness, his response is anger. Take your Bibles and turn with me in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And I just want you to see what the Word of God says about God's anger in this passage. The Word of God says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And so Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says that God is angry. The wrath of God is revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness and those who suppress the truth. And so the Bible says that God is angry at sin. Anger is a God-given response when things aren't right. And it springs from our sense of right and wrong. And so the Bible here talks about God's anger. If you look in the Old Testament, it's amazing how often and how strongly the Bible talks about God's eternal and perfect anger at sin and unrighteousness. So take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Nahum in your Old Testament. The book of Nahum chapter 1. You need to look up this book. Nahum chapter 1. It goes Jonah, Micah, Nahum. It's there near the end of the Old Testament. And we need to read from the book of Nahum, because when we get to heaven, after you've been there for about 1,000 years, you're going to run into Nahum. He's going to come up to you and he's going to say, "Well, what'd you think?" And you're going to say, "Well, what did I think about what? What did you think about the book that I wrote?" So you need to make sure that you've read some of it. Nahum chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. And notice how God describes his own anger. Very, very strong language in graphic terms, beginning in verse 2. "God is jealous, and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. And so while the Bible says that God is slow to anger, the Bible says that in his anger and judgment against sin, he shows fury and even vengeance. Then look in verse 6 of the text. The Bible says, who can stand before God's indignation? Who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Bible says the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. The Bible says that God is eternally, perfectly angry at sin and unrighteousness. Now, it's important to understand, God's anger is not like our anger. He is never sinful in his anger. He doesn't have mood swings. He's always constant and righteous in his anger. He's never inconsistent in his anger. He doesn't get angry at one person for something and say, well, I'm not going to get angry at this other person for the same thing. No, he's consistent in his anger and judgment. He never overreacts in his anger. He never flies off the handle, but he has a settled, righteous, eternal anger against sin and evil. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 7, verse 11, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. The cross of Jesus Christ is a testimony to the wrath of God against sin. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because God's justice and holiness requires a payment and penalty for our sin. He is eternally angry at sin. And so to appease his own wrath, he sent his son Jesus to stretch out his body and to die on the cross and to bear God's wrath for my sin and your sin. Praise the Lord for that. But our God is perfectly angry at sin. And so saying I'm not angry is a denial of how God has made you. Anger is the only right response to wrongdoing. Think about that for a moment. If you see wrongdoing and there's no anger, then there's a problem. Anger is the only right response to wrongdoing. Even so, our sinful nature can cause our anger to become misdirected or out of control or sinful. And so we see the reason for anger. But now turn with me back to Psalm 37. I want you to think with me secondly about the risks of our anger. The reason for anger is when things are not right, when we see injustice, when we see unrighteousness, when things are not right. That's the reason for anger. But here are the risks of our anger. The Bible says in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Do you notice the Bible uses here three different words for anger in verse 8 of Psalm 37? It uses, first of all, the simple word anger. Now, the Hebrew word for anger literally means nose. You know, when you get angry, sometimes your nostrils will flare or your nose may burn or you may begin to sort of breathe in and out through your nose in a way that shows that you're angry. And so they use that word nose to talk about anger. The word cease there, where it says cease from anger, the word cease in the Hebrew language literally means to go limp. And so if you were to translate that first phrase literally from the Hebrew text, it says, let your nose hang limp. But that's a pretty good picture for what to do when you get angry. It means let the air out of the tires of your anger. You're getting all filled up with that anger. Just sort of let that go. The Bible says cease from anger. And then forsake wrath. The word for wrath there means poison. Anger is like poison. If you hold on to anger and bitterness, it will course through your veins and poison your life. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. Again, a word that means to be burned up. Don't get burned up by your anger. Why? It only causes harm. anger will harm you. That's why the Word of God tells us to be very careful not to sin in our anger. Now, if you'll turn a few pages back to Psalm 4, verse 4. I believe Psalm 4, 4 is the most, or one of the most important verses in the Old Testament about anger. And the reason I say that is it's a verse that's quoted directly by Paul in the New Testament, and he expands on it, telling us about anger. Psalm 4, verse 4 says this, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." So does the Bible tell you don't ever be angry? Is that what it says? No. The Bible commands you, be angry. But then it says, do not sin. When you are angry, when you have a righteous response toward wrongdoing, when you're angry, do not sin. I want you to think with me about five times when anger can become sin. And I hope you'll write these down because I think they will help you. Five times when your anger can become sin. Number one, anger becomes sin when anger becomes your go-to response. When your go-to response, when your automatic response is anger, then that is a sinful response. If anytime you're under stress, you get angry. Or if you're having a conversation with someone, a disagreement, and that takes you to anger, then that is an indication of sinful anger. Look in your Bible in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And there the Bible warns us against having anger as our go-to response. The Bible says this in James 1, verses 19 and 20. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Anger becomes sin when anger is your swift go-to response. I was talking to a friend this week, and he asked me what I was preaching on. I said, "I'm preaching on anger." He said, "Well, I'll just share this with you." He said, "Maybe it'll help somebody." And so I'll share it with you because it helped me. He said, "I was working in my office this week." He said, "I have a home office, and I was there just doing some, I don't know if he was on a call or on a Zoom meeting or doing paperwork. I don't know what he was doing. But he said, "I was working in my office, and he said, my wife needed to get some papers to file insurance for our daughter. And he said, I had told her where the papers were. And as I was working in my office, she came in and interrupted me and asked me where those papers were." He said, "When she asked me that," he said, "I just snapped." He said, "I told her several times before." He said, "I just snapped at her." And he said, I don't know whether he said, "Well, you know where they are. They're where they always are." I don't know what he said. He just said, "I reacted in anger." He said, "I kept working." And then he said, "I just became so convicted that I had talked to my wife that way." He said, "I went to her," and he said, "I did everything I could do to make sure that I gave her an apology without saying but or without giving a reason why I did what I did." He said, "I just need to make sure I apologize to my wife for my anger." I asked him a question. I said, "I wonder why it is that it is so easy for us to show anger toward the people who are closest to us. Have you noticed that? You're probably more likely to get angry with your spouse or your kids or people who are close to you than anyone else." My friend answered, he said, "Well, I think sometimes it's because we know that person will give us a break, or we think, well, they love me and I love them and they'll understand. Or maybe we just have done it so many times that we don't think about it anymore." When anger becomes your go-to response, that is sinful anger. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." And so your anger becomes sin when anger becomes your go-to response. Number two, anger becomes sin when you express your anger in the wrong way. Listen to me. You can be angry at the right thing and express that anger in the wrong way and be in sin. Just because the thing you're angry about deserves anger doesn't mean you can respond however you please. When you express your anger in the wrong way. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says this, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, I want you to notice two different words that Paul uses in warning us against anger. He uses the word bitterness and he uses the word wrath. Bitterness is when you clam up because of anger. Some of you are here, and when you get angry, you don't yell. You may not even say anything about it. You just sort of clam up, and you hold it to yourself. You internalize your anger, and that anger has a tendency to harden into bitterness. You can carry that kind of bitter anger with you for years and years and years and years. When you internalize your anger, who do you hurt the most? You. You hold on to that anger, and it hurts you. And so the Bible says, let all bitterness be put away from you. And then he uses the word wrath. The word wrath there has to do with, not with clamming up, but blowing up. You get angry and you just explode. You blow up. You may blow up physically with your hands and or your feet. You may kick or you may swing or you may speak and say things that are hurtful because of your wrath. When you vent your anger that way, who do you hurt the most? Well, you hurt everybody around you. One man said, well, you know, I blow up when I get mad. I blow up at my wife and I blow up at my kids. And I just sort of blow up, and after I blow up, it's over. Well, the same thing can be said of a nuclear bomb. You know, you blow up and it's over and you move on, but you've left incredible damage behind you. And so we sin in our anger when we express our anger in the wrong way. Third, your anger becomes sinful when you become angry for the wrong reason. Your anger becomes sinful when you become angry for the wrong reason. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the first book of your Bible, Genesis chapter 4. I was going through my Bible and just tracing anger through the Scripture. And I looked at every time the word anger or angry was used in the Bible. The first time the word angry is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 4. It's a well-known story, the story of Cain and Abel. You remember that story? Cain and Abel were the first sons of Adam and Eve. And Cain, you'll remember, was a farmer. He was a tiller of the ground. And then Abel was a keeper of sheep. He was a shepherd. And the Bible says when it came time for them to bring an offering to the Lord, that Abel brought the first from his flock and presented it sacrificially to the Lord. And that Cain brought some of the vegetables from his farm to the Lord and presented that. And the Bible says that the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering. And the Bible says, as a result, Cain became angry. Verse 5 of Genesis chapter 4 says, God did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? God is saying that same thing. He's asking that same question to some people in this room. Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you angry? Well, the answer for Cain was he was angry because he didn't like what God had done. Just that simple. He was angry because he didn't like what God had done. And some of you are here. You don't like what God has done. Maybe you prayed for something and God didn't answer it the way you thought he should or would, and you've gotten angry. Maybe there was a son or daughter who went through suffering that you just couldn't wish on any human being, much less your son or daughter. And you don't understand why God didn't deliver your child from that, and you've gotten angry. Why are you angry? Anger becomes sinful when we become angry for the wrong reasons. Now, here's the good news. God is big enough for your anger. You don't have to pretend like it's not there. God saw Cain's anger from the beginning. And what God wanted Cain to do was just to bring that before God so that God could deal with it. Some of you are here today and you just need to open up that anger. It may be something from deep in your past that you just need to bring before God and say, God, here it is. And here's how I feel, and here's what I'm experiencing, and here's why I'm angry. And see what God will do in your life as you open that up and let him deal with it. The Bible says that anger becomes sin when you're angry for the wrong reason. Number four, anger becomes sin when you hold on to your anger. When you hold on to your anger. We're back in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 of that text. And in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 26 and 27, the Bible, quoting Psalm 4 verse 4, says this, "Be angry and do not sin, And then Paul expands on it. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath or give place to the devil. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, does that mean that you should never go to bed without resolving an argument that you're having with your spouse? Can I tell you something? Sometimes you need to go to bed. Sometimes you need to get some rest, and when you're not tired, you'll be able to talk with one another and do a little bit better. So I don't buy the thing that says you should never go to bed without resolving every argument. I heard about a man and his wife, and he said, you know, we made a determination that we'd never go to bed angry. He said, I haven't gone to bed in the last 7 years. Anyway, but what does the Bible mean? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Here's what it means. Don't hold on to some anger and let it fester and stay in your life. Because here's what the Bible says happens when you do that. It says when you do that, you give place to the devil. Look in verse 27. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When you hold on to anger in your marriage, when you hold on to anger with your kids, when you hold on to anger with a brother or sister in the body of Christ, it's like opening up the door to the devil and saying, devil, here's the place I've made for you. It's a place called anger. You just come in here and you can just stay right here because I've made a place for you in my life. I've made a place for you in my family. I've made a place for you in my relationships. I've made a place for you in my marriage. I've made a place for you, devil, through my anger that I won't let go of. And he'll use that anger to destroy you. So the Bible says that anger becomes sin when you hold on to your anger. And then finally, and this is very much like it, anger becomes sin when you allow your anger to dominate your thoughts and your life. When you allow your anger to dominate your thoughts and your life. There's a verse of scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes that I'm sure I've read many times before, but I never really paid attention to it closely until I was preparing for this message. It's Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. It says this, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. One translation puts it this way, anger lodges in the heart of a fool. It's foolish to let anger become the dominating force in your life. So the Bible describes for us the risks of our anger. That's why it says cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't fret over these things that are happening. Let those things go because nothing good comes from it. Harm comes from holding on to anger. A woman, when she was very young, was in a car accident. She was thrown through the windshield of the car. And they had to do massive surgery just to remove the shards of glass from her face. And they managed to get all the glass out of her face at that time. But she said that for years afterward, there were tiny pieces of glass that were hidden deep beneath her skin. And those pieces of glass would work their way to the surface of her face, and as that glass came out of my face, she said, I couldn't feel it when it was deep in, but as it would come to the surface, the pain would just be so great. There are people in this room, you've got anger from past hurts buried deep. Maybe most of the time you don't feel it at all, but every now and then it will come to the surface and there's great pain. God says, don't allow that anger to define you and to destroy you. Instead, let the anger go and give the anger to God. That brings me to my third point for today. Number three, I want to talk to you about the release of your anger. Releasing your anger. Look in verse 7 and look in verse 9 of Psalm 37. And there the Bible talks about the release of our anger. It says this, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's verse 7. And then the Bible tells us why. Even when we're tempted to be angry and to be consumed by our anger, the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And here's why. Verse 9. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. David saw wicked people prospering and it made him angry. But he came to realize that if he rested in the Lord and waited in the Lord patiently, then those evildoers would be cut off and he would inherit everything that God had for him. How can you handle anger without sinning? Can I just share with you some simple things to do to handle your anger without sinning? First of all, avoid situations or people that awaken your anger. Really simple, really practical. Avoid situations or people that cause you to be angry. Let me get even more practical. If watching a certain cable news network makes you uncontrollably angry, maybe you need to watch something else. And if the reason you like to watch that is so you can be angry, then there's another problem. If a conversation with a certain person is always going to take you toward anger, avoid that conversation, avoid that topic. If a relationship always brings up anger, then stay away from the person who causes you that anger. Avoid situations or people that awaken your anger. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Avoid situations or people that awaken your anger. Number two, let anger motivate you to solve the problem. Remember, anger is a God-given response when you see something that's not right. That's what it is. So let anger motivate you to solve the problem. I'm not going to read this to you, but I'll give you the passage of Scripture. Nehemiah chapter 5. Read it sometime. Nehemiah, the Old Testament, chapter 5. And there the Bible describes how Nehemiah, who was the leader over the people of Israel as they were coming back to the land of Israel, he discovered that the wealthy people of Israel were taking advantage of the poor people, causing them to be sold into slavery and turning them into slaves. And when Nehemiah heard about it, the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 6, it says that Nehemiah wasn't just angry, he was very angry. He was extremely angry at this injustice. So what did he do? He didn't sulk. He didn't go on social media and post about it. He called together the people who were doing wrong, and he said, this is wrong, and we've got to correct this problem. And they heard him, and they corrected the problem, and then the anger went away, and the problem went away. Let anger motivate you to solve the problem. Can I tell you something? If you're not willing to be a problem solver, you probably don't need to be a problem finder. Anybody can find them. It takes grace and work and peace and wisdom to solve them. So let anger motivate you to solve the problem. Number three, put injustices in God's hand. How do you handle anger without sinning? When you see injustice and when you can't solve the problem, and sometimes we can't. Sometimes there's an injustice, there's wrong going on, and we can try and we can pray, but we can't fix the problem. So put those injustices in God's hand. I'm back in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verse 19. And there the Bible says this, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. In other words, don't take matters into your own hands and feel like you've got to right every wrong. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. There comes a time when we simply need to say, Lord, I can't fix this. I'm placing this in your hands, and I'm trusting you to take care of it. Put injustices into God's hands. Number four, how to handle anger without sinning. Return good for evil. Look down in verse 21 of Romans chapter 12, and they're talking about the anger that we feel when we see evil. The Bible says this, do not be overcome by evil. In other words, don't let your reaction to evil consume you. Do not be overcome by evil. Instead, overcome evil with good. Maybe you blow up because of your anger. Maybe you clam up and you hold on to that anger. But most of us struggle or have struggled with anger. God will give us grace so that we can overcome anger that would lead us to sin. I heard a story about an eagle that swept down and picked up a weasel in his powerful talons. He began to fly up into the air, and as the eagle began to fly up, suddenly his wings began to move a little bit more slowly. And then eventually, he just became as limp as a rag and fell down to the ground and to his death. What had happened? Well, that weasel that he had picked up had bit into that eagle and killed that eagle. The thing he was holding on to the tightest had destroyed that animal. Same thing happens when we hold on to anger. You can't soar the way God wants you to soar if you're holding on to some anger from your past. You can't undo the past. You can't erase the past. But God can give you grace to overcome the past. Let go of that thing that's causing you anger. Put it in God's hands, and He'll give you grace.